Hello, everybody. I'm Blaine Gilmer, and welcome to the Second to None podcast. It used to be the Recruiting Every Second podcast, but through some change up at the Believe Podcast Network, we're now able to not only cover recruiting, but I'm able to cover everything SEC. And I said, when I said we're able to, now it's truly a we, because I have a co-host that doesn't need an introduction if you're an SEC football fan. It is former Georgia receiver and NFL wide receiver, Tavares King. Tavares, are you excited to be talking SEC football?
Man, I'm super ecstatic, Blaine. It's that time again, and you know, I'm back with you. So I'm super excited to be chopping it up with you, super excited to be talking all things SEC right here on Second to None. So I'm excited to be with you, brother, and I'm excited to get underway.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, I used to work at a place called Bulldog Illustrated, and TK and I did some work over there. Now I'm with Rivals covering Georgia football as well, in addition to my podcasting duties here. And I, when I got the opportunity to cover all things SEC, TK was the first text I made. I wanted to reach out to him, got him on the phone, and we're able to get some work. So excited to be with you, man. Like I said, we are – and how apropos, we're here starting this journey off right when college football season is kicking off. Week one, SEC. You know, they had some stuff with that alliance ball out there with Nebraska and Illinois. If you want to call that college football, I'd call it a national embarrassment is what that was. It was, that was awful, man. I had to turn that one off. Couldn't even watch the rest of that game. But the real stuff gets started this week, right, TK?
Oh, yeah. It's happening. It's happening. We got a big game. Obviously, I'm a dog. So we got a big game coming up against Clemson, man. I'm obviously ecstatic about that one. But there's some there's some other big games in the conference as well.
No doubt. No doubt. And we are going to have you each week. We're going to try to put out an episode for you on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, where we're able to keep you up to date on all things going on inside the SEC, SEC football related. And one of those things that we're going to hit for you each week is kind of the point spreads that are out there, guys, and give our take on, you know, are those, what is Vegas thinking on that? Is that way off base? All that kind of stuff. But we definitely would be remiss if we didn't thank our sponsor, Bet Online, guys. With college football action coming up, like I talked about, those point spreads and things like that, if you like to put a little extra action in there, put a little extra cheese on the Whopper, my grandpa used to say, you know, just be able to have a little fun, have a little extra. Maybe it's a team like that terrible Nebraska and Illinois game that you care nothing about if you're an SEC fan. But if you're on Bet Online, you may care a little bit. So, guys, wanted to give them a shout out here. Thank them for sponsoring the show. If you're into sports betting, Bet Online is where you should go to win money today. Whether it's live bets during games or futures for who you would think will win the championship, Bet Online has the latest odds, the latest news and information for all your sports betting needs. So guys, visit the website today or use your mobile device to receive a 50% welcome bonus. That's right, 50% welcome bonus, TK. So whatever you put in, they're gonna put half of that on top of it and a bonus on your first deposit. So before the next big game, head on over to Bet Online and start playing today, guys. And then speaking of Bet Online, TK, I'm going to go ahead and throw these. If you're watching on the 365 Sports YouTube channel, we have the lines for each game out there that have been set by Bet Online. Before we talk about those, I do want to mention, guys, we're here. Second to None is on the Believe Podcast Network. So excited to be doing work through Believe here, and we are streaming our content video wise, like I said, on the YouTube channel over on 365 Sports channel. But TK, we've got a bunch of, you know, 14 opening games here with none of these SEC teams playing each other yet. So we've got 14 spreads to cover, and I wanted to just defer to you right off the bat. Is there anything that jumps out at these spreads? I'll go through them here in a minute, but just anything that grabs your eye right off the bat on these SEC spreads?
Well, I'll tell you, Auburn, Akron, that 37 point spread in Auburn's favor is insane. I think that's a lot of points, my man. And I've got a kid that I train out of Decatur. Georgia, Kanate Mumfield that plays receiver at Akron. He says those guys will probably have a little bit to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when you talk about, just tell people from a player's perspective, why is a 37 and Akron, in all fairness, last year was a just terrible football team, but mm-hmm. Auburn has gone through a coaching change. Brian Harsin's in there. Bo Nix is now going to be taking snaps under center for the first time in his life. So I bet you'll fumble two or three in a game.
Right,
You never know. But just from a player standpoint, when you're on a team that has or should have superior talent and you got a 37-point spread in your favor, just tell people, you know, how hard is it to actually cover that thing because of all the various factors?
Well, for starters, that's not in any player's mind.
Yeah.
At all. They're not thinking about the spread at all. I hope they're not.
Yeah, but, who knows with NIL now, people may be.
Right. But, man, it is hard to do. And like you said, they've got a new coach, new offense. Bo Nix is taking snaps under center, which is going to be a little different for him. Obviously, he's been doing it all preseason, but doing it under fire, live game situations a little different. As well as, dude, this week one, I think those guys are returning. You know, they've got, three or four guys on offense that are new, three or four guys on defense that are new in key positions. Yeah. So I mean, dude, it's week one of football. So 37 points is it's a stretch.
Well, and let's say too, they do jump out to a huge lead, but – I mean, is Brian Harsin just going to keep his foot on the gas the entire game and go try to just embarrass the team? Or are they going to try to get multiple guys in there and start working on stuff? You know, I mean, you got to figure out what kind of philosophy he's going to have as a head coach in that kind of scenario.
Right. I mean, I don't see his coaching style being to pound him to the ground, but you got to think with the way things are with, you know, getting into a college playoff nowadays, you might want to pound somebody into the ground. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And real quick, before we jump on any other, you know, point spreads and stuff, I did want to say that Auburn job with Brian Harsin taking that job, and obviously you got, you know, ties to it because Mike Bobo is now the offensive coordinator over there. Tell people with Mike Bobo being the offensive coordinator, what can Auburn fans expect out of that offense this year in terms of the philosophy and the style of play?
It's a pro style offense. He's going to expect those guys to be able to run the ball. He's going to expect his receivers to be able to block and stretch the field. That's an offense that you got to be able to do a lot. Those tight ends in that offense will be utilized a lot. It's an exciting offense. I think that those Auburn fans should be excited about the offense. We put up probably, I think, 40 plus, we averaged 40 plus points my senior year in that offense. So I think those fans should be very excited about it.
How well do you think? I mean, there's been a lot of great running backs, you know, that played in the offense with you, but Tank Bigsby over there at Auburn, he's the truth.
He's a stud. He's a stud. He's the real deal. And I think that, you know, under Coach Bobo's offense and with, I think Coach Friend's there, with Coach Friend there
he up is. Front. Yeah, Will Friend.
Yeah. I mean, I think that their coaching style is to get those guys, get those backs going, get the running game going. So I think that Tank's in for a good season.
No doubt. Another one that interests me is LSU on the road at UCLA. And Tavares, they're a 3.5-point favorite on the road. Usually the home team in Vegas and stuff, they're given 3 points just for the home. So they really think LSU is about a 6-point favorite.
Yeah.
They really think they're about a 6-point favorite and that kind of stuff, but they give them some home field. But I don't know. The one game that did kind of catch my eye is Chip Kelly and UCLA this in week zero this past weekend, just jumping all over Hawaii. And it was like 44-3 when I saw them turn on the game or something like that. As a player, when you're a team like LSU, you know, got the haven't played a real game yet, and UCLA has that game one under their belt, and you're traveling out to them. Even though LSU's the more talent laden team, what challenges can that pose? Do you think it's better for LSU to have stuff on film, or do you think LSU has a advantage because they haven't shown anything on film? What's that dynamic for?
Well, I mean, I think that's a double-edged sword. You said it. I mean, they get to view the film. They get to see tendencies and things that they like to do from week one. They get to see how athletic guys are, how they move, what they can and can't do. And then on the other side of that, those guys at UCLA don't get to see that. So they don't know what's coming. But on the other side of that, UCLA's played a game, and yeah, LSU hasn't played a game. So they're going to have those first game jitters, and they're going to have those first game miscues, penalties and things like that that happen in week one of college football. So hopefully, you know, those guys, it works out in those favors. You know, I'm an SEC guy, so I'm pulling for the Tigers.
Hey, you heard it. TK saying go Tigers in his Ed Orgeron voice.
What's he say? Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. So, yeah, TK's rooting for the Tigers. So, now, I did want to ask this. Something that's going on with LSU right now, of course, because of Hurricane Ida, they've been displaced. They're actually have already left campus, and they're in Houston. They're going to spend the week in Houston until Thursday, and then go from Houston on Thursday when they would have left Baton Rouge to go to Los Angeles. They're going to go there from Houston. Being displaced away from home, and whether it's a bowl game setting or anything, especially it being a season opener like this, how difficult is that going to be on LSU players, especially young LSU players?
It's going to be very difficult. I think having distractions, playing away games are hard in itself, but then having a week away off campus, different distractions than you have on campus, and man, Lord knows, sometimes on campus around this time of year is pretty distracting. So, I mean, having different distractions in a new area, they'll have to focus, man. It'll be, I think that kind of, I actually forgot about that. That's going to play a major factor into the preparation that goes into the week. Those guys will have to be dialed in, and, you know, attention to detail have to be at a for real all-time high.
And, you know, we do want to also say, as we're recording this, you know, thoughts and prayers with everyone down in the Louisiana area. Absolutely. You know, it's terrible that they're already, you know, getting pounded again with another hurricane. So we hope everybody goes well there. But that is something that's probably going to weigh heavy on, because a lot of these guys, TK, you know, LSU, they recruit their own state hard.
From there.
The families there are having to deal with a hurricane while they're off playing in Los Angeles.
Right. Yeah, 100%. You know, a lot of LSU recruits their guys, like Georgia recruits our guys. So a lot of their guys are from there. So I'm sure, man, their hearts will be heavy. Their hearts are heavy now. My heart's heavy for them. Like you said, thoughts and prayers to everybody down that way. So, yeah, man, it'll be tough for them for sure. And, you know, again, thoughts and prayers with them.
And we're going to get into, guys, all our predictions. Those will come on our Friday show right before the game. That's when we'll lock in on our stuff. We're just kind of examining some interesting things we see. A program that I wanted to put on upset alert this week in week one, TK, and we talked about it a little bit before, is Missouri. The Fighting Jim McElwains of Central Michigan are going to come down there. You know, like you said, it's just kind of a hop, skip, and a jump. But if you're looking on the YouTube page, you can see that Missouri versus Central Michigan. But TK, like I said, 13.5 points. That's not exactly a overwhelming endorsement of them as a huge favorite against a group of five team. But especially with Jim McElwain having that SEC background, things like that. What, you know, is this an interesting one here with Missouri?
I'm calling upset to my guy, because Central Michigan is returning 21 starters, my dude.
All 11 on offense.
Yeah, and that experience is big, man. I'm a believer in experience. And like you said, Jim McElwain is very – very experienced and has had success in our league, a little success.
Yeah, well, in Alabama, he was very successful.
Yeah, right. But I was talking about of late. but
the Florida debacle.
Yeah. But man, he's familiar with the territory, so it's familiar territory for him. He knows how to prepare for it. So upset alert, baby. Yeah. There it goes. I'm calling it.
People in Columbia, TK, telling you to watch out this week. We're not making our final pick yet. Like I said, that's going to come on Friday. We're just starting to chop up and examine these guys a little bit. But TK is saying that you might want to turn over the rocks there and look a little bit harder when you're looking at Central Michigan.
21 returners, returning starters, bro.
Tell people how rare that is on a.
Bro, I mean one person.
One starter.
Yeah, that's one person, Jack. From last year.
Do you think the most in your time at Georgia was the most y'all had return in a year with both sides of the ball?
I mean, probably my senior year. But
you still probably lost two or three to the league or something like that, you know, like guys going elsewhere.
Yeah, 100%. Guys leave, but that's unheard of, man. I'd like to see a stat on other schools if they have the most.
Yeah, they're right up there at the top. I think there's maybe one or two schools that return all 22, but I'm not sure exactly how good those programs are at this point in time. But so the last one I wanted to touch on in terms of the point spread.
Say Tennessee.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to Tennessee because they're actually playing on Thursday. So we're going to go a little bit more in depth on Tennessee. But the one that interests me in terms of a Saturday game, and we may have varying opinions on this because I think we were talking about it a little bit before, is that Alabama and Miami game being played in Alabama's home away from home, Atlanta. They're a 19. They're a 19.5-point favorite. They're a 19.5-point favorite against the Miami Hurricanes. Let me say that again. If you look at this graphic, Arkansas is a 19.5-point favorite over Rice. And Alabama's a 19.5-point favorite over Miami. That just tells you the separation and what people think about these programs. But TK, a big game like that to open the year, you've been involved in situations like that. You know, what is this? When you got a team, it's no cupcake. And we'll get to the Georgia game. We'll get to the Georgia game with Clemson because that's the premier game. But when it's no cupcake, when it's no group of five team, and you know you got an athlete over there like Derek King that you got to take seriously, yet you're a 19.5-point favorite. I know you say people aren't thinking about the spreads, but I just think I think it's changed. I think it's changed a little bit with the because the
betting, you think these kids looking at like
I don't think they're looking at them, but I think what they're hearing nowadays, you know what I'm saying? Because it used to be that betting and stuff was a little bit more taboo, but now ESPN and SportsCenter, whenever they're talking about it, they're throwing it out there. Alabama's a 19.5-point and they're having an SVP and Stanford Steve, or having, you know, the what is that segment they got that at the end of their show where it's like bad beats where, you know, they bet one. So, I mean, I just think it's more prevalent, and not that they're thinking about it, but can hearing that, as Nick Saban calls it, rat poison, you know, I mean, can they get some of that rat poison with that kind of stuff?
I mean, for sure. Some players feed into stuff like that, but man, I was the type of cat that I was looking at the player. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the team. What are they doing? I wasn't worried. I was like looking and see, oh, I'm going to do this to him. I wasn't worried about what the score was going to be. And I think that, you know, Nick Saban is that type of coach. He ain't thinking and he coaches that type of men. So I think that they'll be focused and not, you know, eating or drinking any of that rat poison.
Yeah.
But like you said, having a guy that you do have to worry about like Derek King is tough, bro. I think he's capable of doing some damage. And on the other side of that, with Bryce Young, you know, they're only returning
11 starters.
Yeah, 11 starters, but three on offense. So, I mean, you got new guys out there. This might be I'm interested to see. This might be a different Alabama team. I'm interested to see what Alabama rolls out there.
So what's your thought on that 19.5? Do you think it's too much, too little? What do you think in terms of
setting that line? I think that might be a little Miami. Miami's nice. I like Miami. I think that might be a little too much, my brother.
I got you. So this is our first disagreement here on Second to None. I'm saying that Alabama's going to easily win this thing by three touchdowns. I mean,
You think they're gonna smack them?
I think they're gonna lay it to them, man. Alabama. The only thing that it may be close early. I'll be honest with you, it may be close for 2.5 quarters, but unfortunately, you know, you being a Georgia guy and stuff like that, we've seen that at Alabama. Yeah.
I'm with you. The thing that they play defense at Alabama, and they're returning 8 defensive guys, and they recruit amazingly. So I mean, they're gonna be Alabama, but I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued on seeing what Alabama rolls out there because.
Now, to your point, things that are going for Miami, Rhett Lashley's their offensive coordinator who was at Auburn under Gus Malzahn, so he's very familiar with Alabama and their defense. Also, you know, when it comes to Miami, they're able to, you know, do some things early on in that quarterback run game with Derek King, because people are going to think about, oh, is his knee okay? All that kind of stuff after the ACL. That dude's out there. He's not even wearing a brace anymore. Somebody said he's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's just not just walking out there with him for looks, you know, on the knee braces. He doesn't need them. He's not going to roll with them. So, you know, he's apparently 100%. He's making runs in practice, you know, through the Rivals Network. I've heard wind of what's going on over there at Miami, and apparently he's just shredding the defense sometimes with runs. So that could be good and bad because Bryce Young can run as well. But I will say this, another thing that's going for him is Bryce Young, you know, much like DJ Uiagalelei for Clemson, he's unproven, man. I mean, this is not a proven commodity, so –
And that's what I said. I'm interested to see what they roll out there because this is kind of uncharted territory for the past couple years. You know what I'm saying? We've kind of known what we were going to get from Alabama from a quarterback standpoint. Even Mac Jones, we knew kind of a little bit what Mac could do. So I mean, this is a little different, I think.
Absolutely. And then the last one that we're going to touch on here that is not the game of the week, which we're going to save the Georgia Clemson game for our last, you know, few minutes here. But I did want to mention, as you pointed out, Tennessee plays on Thursday night, really to kind of open things up against a Bowling Green club. And they're a 34.5-point favorite.
I'm going to tell you, I'm betting this week, bro. these spreads outrageous. I'm betting this week, bro.
Say and use that bet online.
Yeah, know, oh yeah, and I'm using bet online, baby. I'm betting this week
because I don't understand how anybody can set a point spread that high in favor of Tennessee with the track record that's come through that program over the last couple of years.
Look here, man. I'm taking Bowling Green with that spread.
Exactly. Bowling Green against the spread. It's a Thursday night kickoff. That's already weird. You know, just as a player, and not only in the college, but the NFL, tell people how weird it is kicking off on a Thursday. It changes your whole week of preparation, does it not?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially during the season, going from a Sunday to a Thursday, it speeds things up. Your body's banged up. You're sore. You have to come in extra early, leave extra late, look at more film. Yeah, it's a grind. It's definitely a grind working on a Thursday, and it'll be very, very different for these cats come Thursday for sure.
And it's not even been 100% settled yet who Tennessee's quarterback is going to be yet. Joe Milton, the transfer from Michigan, he's there. He's kind of got the nod right now, but you got Harrison Bailey, who was from Eric Gilbert's teammate at Marietta High School when they were, you know, tearing it up down there. And, you know, those two have been kind of battling it out for stuff. Hooker's also there as well. So they've got three guys that are still kind of in the running. But, you know, game on Thursday, I would think that Joe Milton would have to be named the starter here unless he's just going to keep it – the Heupel's just going to keep it a total – does that benefit a coach just to keep it a total surprise until like right before the game? Not with his team, but to announce for the media and the other team and all that?
I mean, it probably does for the other team. just to those guys don't know who's rolling out there. So, you know, they got to prepare for, you know, two different type of cats. So, I mean, it definitely benefits them in that aspect. But if you're keeping it from everybody, then,
yeah,
you know, that could be disastrous, man. It could open up a can of worms.
Definitely not going to cover that 34 and a half doing that. So.
Oh, yeah. Nah, don't play with it.
All right, now the time is here, TK. The game of the week, Georgia and Clemson in Charlotte. I'll be up there. You're gonna head up to Charlotte. You're gonna make the travel up there.
Nah, actually, I'm hosting a watch party.
I got you.
Myself and look, I'll broadcast it right now for y'all folks. Myself, Renee Curran, Marlo Herrera, and Blue Martini.
So there we go. There we go. Blue Martini. They're gonna be making sure they have a good time right there during the Clemson game. The biggest game that I can remember Georgia being involved in early in the season in a long, long time. And, you know, TK, just want to, you know, as objectively as you can here, we know the blood runs red and black, you know, but in, as objectively as you can here on this matchup, we're going to get into the specifics of it on our Friday episode, but just overarching themes, what kind of sticks out to you as you think of this matchup just right off the bat?
Man, I think it's a good one. I think it's I think the spread is a little wrong, but yeah,
Georgia's a three-point underdog in Charlotte.
I think it's a little wrong, but I think it's going to be a very close game. I think these are two evenly matched teams. I'm a little bit worried about our guys out wide. Hopefully, you know, we get everybody out back there. And we'll, like you said, we'll get into it more later on in the week. But I think it's evenly matched. I think this is a high marquee game. I think that early on, either way it goes, if we win, folks are going to overreact. If we lose, folks are going to overreact. But man, like you said, we haven't had a game of this caliber early on in a long time. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah. I think the quarterback matchup is really intriguing to me because a lot of people, Dr. Pepper included, I mean, with NIL, you know, when Dr. Pepper's slinging money at you, you gotta be doing it right. TK.
I like Dr. Pepper too. They need to holler at us.
Yeah. Hey, that's a big sponsorship that DJ Uialagalele hauled in there. And I'm sure he'll be, you know, killing that on the commercials during that game. But, you know, when you've got JT Daniels and DJ Uiagalelei, that's been a point of contention all year where people have all off season, really, where people have been like, who's got the quarterback advantage? I did not see one thing out of JT Daniels throughout the last four games that he played for Georgia that makes me think he's not capable of just going to the next level. I think JT Daniels is finally a quarterback that Georgia has that can stretch the field. And you played with different quarterbacks that had different levels of arm strength. You know, Aaron Murray was able to lay that thing out there for you guys. You know, just what does that do for you receiver-wise and confident-wise when you got a quarterback that you know can make the throws?
When you have a cat that can not only make the throws, but command the offense, it does wonders for you, especially, like I said, when you're rolling young guys out there like we might have to. It does wonders for your confidence and for your psyche, for your mental in itself. I'm telling you, when you can look at a guy and know that he's going to put you in the right position with a ball, that takes a little weight off your shoulders. So that's huge. That, along with something else I wanted to talk about, the guy is giving his some of his NIL money to some of his teammates. Come on.
Yeah.
That's
you know, and he can even incentivize that. He'd be like, hey, listen, OL. No sacks this week. Each of you get $1,000 apiece. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing this week? You know, what's the no sack bonus? You know, so I don't know, man. It's gonna be an interesting matchup. If you are enjoying this SEC only content, like I said, the moniker at the bottom, the best conference in football, bar none, the second to none podcast. go ahead and subscribe. If you're on the YouTube channel, on the 365 YouTube channel, please hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Thank Bet Online for being the sponsor of this show. And guys, we're on Apple. Yeah. And we're on Apple. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere that you want to, you know, catch the audio version of this. And we're going to put out shows on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. On the Wednesday show, we're going to be getting more some player perspective from TK in terms of some of the schemes that these guys are running, some difficulties and things like that. And then our Friday show, guys, is all about getting you ramped up for the Saturday game. So Monday show is kind of an overarching preview. Wednesday is more of a deep dive into the player perspective of things with TK. And then Friday is in-depth matchup previews and our predictions. So if you want to hear them, make sure you tune in on Friday. TK, enjoyed this first episode, man.
Yeah, man, I loved it, bro. I look forward to many more with you, chopping it up, talking all things SEC. Again, y'all come check us out, subscribe, and Dr. Pepper hit us up too.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper, there we go. So this has been Second to None on the Believe Podcast Network.